name's Ryan. I'm an alcoholic. This is good? All right, I'll try. I've been cool as a fan about this all week, and then before the meeting I was talking to some people and I saw it was 7:29, and like the anxiety just in my chest, you know. I was like, shit, I'm pretty sure the last time that I spoke somewhere was a year ago at this meeting when it was over at Yana for COVID. I'm the consolation speaker this week, actually. 2 weeks ago I got a panic text from Marlon in the morning because he didn't think he had a speaker, and I was just like, yeah, sure, I'll help you out, you know. And then we came to the meeting, and then a speaker showed up that he forgot about, and so I got the bump, but because he felt bad, he got me to speak here. So I'm the, yep. I'm just the bridesmaid, not the bride. Thanks, Marlon, I appreciate you having me. So I'm an alcoholic. Love getting wasted, you know what I mean? Just went like big lengths to try and get tore up. Love getting torn up. And I've been sober since April the 28th of 2007. And in that period of time, I haven't like drank or done any drugs or anything, but it certainly hasn't prevented me from making deals with other people and not telling them, and then having the audacity to get pissed off when they don't follow the deal, you know? Always expect too much of people, never get what I want. I started drinking when I was a kid, there's this thing, like, everybody talks about, right? Like in Bill's story, like this I had arrived moment. And that happened to me like real quick. I was 15 and I got together with some friends of mine on a Friday night, and we started doing shots of Jack Daniels, and I'd never done that before. So I didn't really know the technique, and I certainly didn't know it was gonna taste like shit. And it got to be my turn, you know? And I wanted to be cool. I didn't wanna be the only guy that couldn't do it. And so like I threw back this shot glass and I got like, honestly, probably half or some of it, and it just like, dude, it tasted bad, you know, and like my mouth was on fire, like my lips, my gums, my tongue, my throat. I was just like, it was a strange, I could not reconcile like why people would drink alcohol, you know, but I choked the rest of it back, you know, moments later, it totally made sense, you know. I was just like, and it was like instant alcoholic math. This is killer. I just want 100 more of these right now, you know. I was 15 and it looked like I was 11, you know, like I was still very much a kid. I probably had a couple more shots, I have no idea, but like I blacked out that night. I woke up like covered in my own barf, you know, and I was like somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. And that just tells the story for like the next 6 or 7 years of my life. I had arrived moment because even though I looked like a kid, like I don't know what it was, but I just always had like the gas station connect, you know? So like Friday nights we were partying, I was the hookup. Like there was this dude, I'd probably never forget his name, this dude Bobby that ran the Sitco gas station out in Valrico by my house. And it's wild because, so like, I would buy, and then we would all like go outside, and this dude would just like hang out and drink with us, you know? And like, it was cool as shit, but now, like, that dude would get lit up on Twitter, you know? And like, that's, you can't do that. But like, it was awesome then, and I was totally with it. And it was just like there was a crew of us, you know, like we all had something we were going to go do, and like we were partying on Friday, we were partying on Saturday, and like if we could make it work to party in the middle of the week, we would do that too. And it was just awesome, you know. I mean, it's like when you're a kid, I mean, what does it take, like 6-8 drinks, you know what I mean? And you're just like, you're buzzy all over, you know, the world is great, like everything is good, like how fucking cool does that sound? You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was the best. I've never really been good in school, you know? But certainly after I started partying, that was like the only reason I went to school was to find out who had what, where we were doing, where we were going, what time it was there, you know, like school was just a place to network, to get loaded. I want to say like I was 16 and My grades were already so bad, like I just wasn't going to graduate high school, you know? And then when I was 17, like a year later, like my parents got a life insurance policy out on me. And then like when I was 18, I was already in AA. You know, certainly not because I wanted to be, but I was here, you know, nonetheless. And it like kind of a funny story. So I had to do this outpatient thing for probation. And so, I mean, like, you all know how it is when you talk to an adult or like a cop or somebody or like a teacher or somebody, like you just never say anything, you know. And like, so I go to talk to this guy. And I'm like, I'm already getting my story in my head, like, yeah, it's first time, I'll never do it again, you know, like all the usual stuff. And so I'm sitting there talking to this guy and like, you know, just kind of coming around everything like this and like not really saying anything, but saying a bunch at the same time. And like everything was going pretty well, honestly. Like I thought I was going to be skating out of there doing pretty good. And then, but he goes, he was like, so let me ask you, when you start to drink, how many do you usually drink before you stop? And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what? I don't know, you know? And I was like, I guess like 15 or, you know? And I gave him an honest answer by accident because he caught me off guard. And he just kind of like nodded his head and he started writing stuff down. And I was like, shit, you know? Like, and so we got done and he was like, all right, look, you have to go to AA and you got it like whatever, whatever, whatever. And I was already... You know, it's like drug testing once, twice a week. I was probation's expensive, like court costs, and I was like all this stuff. Like, it's expensive. You know what I mean? And like now, this guy was telling me I had to go to AA, and I was just like in my head, AA was the state of Florida, who was already like getting a ton of money from me. You know, and I was just like so pissed off about it. I wanted nothing to do with it. It's not, by the way. You know, if you're new, this is not the state of Florida. I mean, like, we're here physically, but like, that's not what this is, you know? But anyway, so I was just like not interested, you know? Cause like my thing was, I didn't understand what alcohol, I mean, truthfully, I mean, I couldn't articulate it this way back then, but the reality is I just could not articulate what alcoholism is. I didn't know. No one had ever told me. In my mind, I was way too young. I was only 18. I wasn't homeless, because I still lived with my parents. And I didn't like, I'd never been divorced or, you know, I wasn't paying child support because like, straight up, I just couldn't get a date, like, let alone have someone divorce me or have a kid with me, you know? So, like, I thought alcoholism was all external, like, stuff out there. You know, that's what I thought alcoholism was. I had no idea that alcoholism is an internal deal. It's, like, my relationship with alcohol. Someone like me, when I have a drink, the only thing I want more than the first drink is the second. The only thing I want more than the 19th drink is the 20th, you know? That's someone like me. I have, like, the big book describes it as an allergy to alcohol. You know, I have also, like, when I'm not drinking, I have a list like this, you know, of, like, 6-point font reasons why I shouldn't drink. But that doesn't matter. You know, like, I will always drink again. That's my experience. And so... millionaire living on the gutter, whatever it is, or living in the gutter, whatever it is, like that has nothing to do with alcoholism. It's totally an inside job, you know, my relationship with alcohol. And I just didn't know that. And so therefore I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I thought I had, you know, wrong circumstances. I did the wrong thing, you know, like I should, whatever. I should have told the cop something different, like whatever it was, you know. But I'm not a damn alcoholic, you know. So the funny part about it is all I had to do was go to like 10 meetings or something like that. And I mean, this was not like intensive Alcoholics Anonymous. It was over the course of like a 6-month period of time, like just go 10 times, you know, like... go twice a month and you'll be done early, you know? But I just like totally refused to do it. And every time I would go to see my probation officer, she would be like, look, like you understand I cannot like sign you out of this if you don't go to the meetings. And I was just like, all right, whatever, you know? So like a good alcoholic, I waited. I think there was like 3 days left of my probation. And it was like, all right, this is the only thing that's preventing me from, because like, I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, I'm not a jail guy. I don't do well in jail. I don't like it there. And so, like, you know, there was all sorts of stuff that I was not doing while if I'm pissing once a week, like, there's a bunch of stuff I'm not doing anymore, you know? I'm not made for that. Some people are, not me. And but the thing was, is I wanted to get off of probation so I could go back to doing all that stuff. You know what I mean? But, like, the only thing that was in the way was these damn AA meetings that were preventing me from getting tore up, you know? And kind of ironic. And so I was like, well, whatever. Let me just go to these meetings. There was a clubhouse, like, not far from where I lived. And the funniest thing is so I went to this clubhouse. I had a paper to sign, which I could have just forged, you know? It's like, anonymous is in our name, right? But, like, like I said, I thought this was, like, a state-run thing. And so, like, I went to this place, and I've been smoking cigarettes since I was 10 years old, but I had quit smoking cigarettes like 2 weeks prior to this probably, you know? And I went in and they were smoking cigarettes in the meeting and I was like, oh, it's filthy, you know, like smoking half my life, you know what I mean? And, but I had something to say about it. And, but I totally, like, I was looking for every reason not to fit in there. I looked for everything to separate me, like, you have different hair than me, you drive something different than me, you have different shoes than me, you talk differently than me, whatever it is, like, I don't have what you have, you know? And so I decided in that very first meeting, the very first hour, that I am not an alcoholic. The meeting had proved it to me. I had done my research in AA, you know, not for me. And I left there. I mean, I still had to go to 9 more meetings, right? But I called my mom, and so she grew up in like a very alcoholic household, you know? And so I called her and I was like, yeah, like, you know, I just left this first meeting, you know, I'm definitely not like these people, totally not an alcoholic, good news, you know? And she was just like, all right, you know? so I went to the rest of my 10 meetings, and it's like, what's funny now, I would go to 10 meetings a week now. Like, if I had the chance, that'd be sweet. I would totally go to 10 meetings a week. But then it was definitely the worst week of my life. I hated it. Like, AA was depressing. I didn't like the people, you know, and it was like, I mean, I don't want to trash the place, but it was very much like my lawnmower didn't pull today. And so, like, I felt like drinking, like, it was that kind of a place, you know, which I mean, honestly, if I was going to go to 10 meetings a week at a place like that now, I probably would hate this week of my life too. But it just, like, sucked, you know. I was so uninterested in anything that had to do with AA. And, like, I kept leaving the place smelling like cigarettes, even though I didn't smoke anymore, which just pissed me off. And, but whatever, because I got off of probation and I had what I went from the worst week of my life to the best week of my life, which was I got off of probation and I moved out of my parents' house in the same week. And it's like, that's like top notch, you know what I mean? And it was like immediate. The day that I knew I didn't have to give clean piss to anybody anymore, like, everything was back on the table. And I went right back to doing everything I was doing before. But, like, the funny thing too is, maybe not funny, but the thing is too, is, like, something happened that time that I was on probation, not doing anything else. Something happened where, like, before, even though, like, I definitely drank out of control, there was still some element of, like, okay, I have a big day tomorrow, like, we're gonna keep it chill tonight. There was still some element of that. But, like, while I was on probation, and I mean, I drank the whole time, you know, I just made sure, like, if it was the day before a test, like, I just tried to keep it light or whatever it was. But, like, something had happened where, since I wasn't doing all this other stuff, my drinking skyrocketed. Like, I totally lost the power of choice in drink. if I was drinking at all, I was drinking until drink ran out, money ran out, I passed out, like, whatever it was. I'm probably going to mess up the line, but it's in Bill's story, but, like, drinking was no longer a luxury like what it had been. It was absolutely a necessity. It was just something that had to happen one way or another. And I don't mean, like, if I didn't drink, I would start shaking and crying. I mean, maybe sometimes, but, like, not frequently, you know? It was much more of, if in my head, it did not matter, like, what had been going on, or how long it had been since I drank. It could have been yesterday. It could have been 5 days ago. It just did not matter. Like, my head always reconciled a drink. And it didn't matter what I told myself. Like, this time I'm not going to end up in this place. This time I'm definitely not driving. This time I'm not doing this or like whatever. And I would do all the things, you know. like I said, I have a list, like a long list of why I shouldn't drink. And my experience is those things do not matter. For someone like me, the memory of like the pain and suffering and the humiliation and all the like waking up the next day wondering what I did and like being shameful, reading, scrolling through text messages on my phone or like not knowing where my shit is or whatever the deal is, doesn't matter, you know? Get fired from jobs, doesn't matter. Get thrown out of school, doesn't matter. Lose relationships with people, doesn't matter. The way that I am, I always, in my head, the math always works out. Just drink again, dude. Like, what difference does it make? You know, just drink again. So that was like, some switch got flipped in that time. You know, it's like coincidentally, the time that I totally lost control of my drinking was when I was going to AA. Coincidentally, right? But you know, whatever. I had the time of my life after that, to be honest with you. I spent like the next, I don't know, year and a half, whatever, just partying my face off, and it was awesome, and it was fantastic, and I racked up all sorts of like bad things that had happened, throughout the mix of that, and I just reconciled all of it to like my problem is Tampa because I'm not from here, and so it's easy to just say like the problem is y'all, not me, so I was unemployable, I could not go to school, and the problem with some of those situations is that I still had bills that I had to pay. You know, it was like, you got to pay people rent and stuff like that. And you got to pay for like electricity and stuff. And so one time, 1 month, I called my mom, right? Because she's the one that's going to help me. My dad's going to tell me that he won't help me. You know, he'll use different words. But like, so I called her and she, and I was like, look, like just need a little bit of help, you know? And my dad called me and he was like, I'm only going to help you because your mom doesn't want you to be homeless. This is never going to happen again, you know? And I was like, okay. and then I just like classic alcoholic doubled down, you know? I was already like a week past on the rent. So there's 3 weeks left until the next rent. And I just like doubled down. I was like, you know what? Not only is this never happening again, I'm going to get the rent next month and I'm going to pay you back next month. Don't even worry about it, you know? And just like went real hard into it. And he was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? You don't even have a job. You're stupid, you know? And I was like, no, don't worry about it. Like, I'll figure it out, you know? And then, so I just started pawning everything. I just started selling all my stuff at the pawn shop. But then I was just like, God damn, I got a ton of money. Like, I'm gonna go get fucked up, you know? And so like the second month came and I made the phone call again and he's like, nope. Like, if you are, you know, if we're gonna have to pay for you, you're gonna live here again. Now the problem was, you're gonna live here again. They had moved to Buffalo, New York, which meant that I had to move up there. But I was like, honestly, I was 19 years old, and I was already, run out from drinking. Like, I was already waking up, like telling myself I'm not drinking anymore. I was already making promises to people I wasn't drinking anymore. I didn't like the way that my life was going. I knew that there was things that were not going right, and if I could just get a job and like do normal everyday stuff and not get loaded, like that would have been enough for me, you know? But I just couldn't do it. I really just couldn't do it. And so like at that, like I didn't want to live in Tampa, but I didn't want to live up there either, you know? But at the same time, it was like, well, I'm going to go figure my stuff out. So I went up there in December, and it's cold. I lived my whole life between here and Southern California. And so, like, I just got there in flip-flops and, like, cargo shorts and a T-shirt, and, like, I just shaved my head, you know? And I remember I got to the airport, and my dad was just like, you're stupid. Like, what is wrong with you, you know? All beside the point. The important part is that I got there trying to fix me, and I think I had gone probably the longest I'd been without a drink since I was 15. I'm talking like 2-3 weeks. I went from having no job here to having two jobs up there. And as soon as I started getting paid again, all those ideas about getting on the right track and getting back into school and stuff all of it was gone, you know? And so, like, the cool thing about Buffalo is their last call is at 4 a.m. They know how to party properly. And so, like, I mean, I had to see the city, you know? I mean, what are you going to do? You move somewhere, like, you're just not going to see what's going on there, you know? And the day and time came, I mean, I was still trying to, like, manage my drinking, and I had gone another stretch of, like, a couple weeks without drinking, and the day and time came, I was working, like, 60, 70 hours a week, so, I mean, it was, like, kind of hard to get into trouble when you're working that much, and, but there was a Friday where I brought both paychecks from my kitchen jobs to the bank, and I put them in there, and the lady gave me my receipt back with my balance on it, and for the first time in my life, there was a comma in my balance. And, like, I'm going to tell you right now, punctuation on that piece of paper ruined my program of recovery, you know? Like, that's the thing to celebrate, you know? and so, like, that started the whole thing over again. And so what's also kind of, so, like, my mom is retired now, but at the time she worked for the FBI. And so, like, the stuff that was, like, going through their house, you know, it was, like, very unsettling to her. They kept, like, finding stuff, and she's like, dude, you are going to get arrested, and I'm going to lose my job. Like, do you understand this? And so I it didn't work out up there. Shocking, right? I went somewhere, and I took myself with me, and moving away didn't fix any of my problems because I'm the problem. And so that really, I think to wrap it up and to get sober quickly, the day and time came where it wasn't working out for me up there. I hated it up there. And, I mean, cool city, no disrespect, but not for me. And so I came back down here. My sister let me crash for a little bit. It was supposed to be like one of those 1 or 2 month arrangements, and I just lived there for like 2 years, you know? And I mean, that's what you get. Like, you let an alcoholic live with you, they're gonna stick around, you know? Always do. And so, but like, weird things started to happen. And what started to happen was consequences that were happening as a result of my drinking were no longer the worst things in my life. The worst thing in my life was, like, just waking up, just being with me, just being by myself, like, the shit in my head, you know? It just was, like, instant. I mean, as soon, like, I would be conscious a split second before my eyes would even open up, and my head was already on me, you know? Already thinking to myself, like, man, I hope I'm dreaming. I hope I'm not really awake. And then, you know, I'd open my eyes, and sure enough, I was awake, and it's just like, oh, you know, I just, like, don't have the energy for it, man. Like, being an alcoholic is draining, for sure. And I didn't have the energy for it. And I didn't think there was any way out for me. I I had been to counselors, like ones that you pay and stuff, and like school counselors had talked to me, and like parents and friends and girlfriends and like police officers and judges and probation, like all these people were like trying to tell me, like, dude, you cannot keep doing this. And they were like, you know, like the wheels were spinning, but the wheels weren't gaining any traction with what they were saying. Like, the wheels could not connect to the ground and get any traction, because, like, what they were saying is honestly garbage. Like, they don't understand, like, me without a drink is not a good thing. Like, I am restless, I'm irritable, I'm discontented. If I'm not drinking, I'm looking at you having a drink, and you don't have any problems in your life, so why can't I have a drink, you know? And, like, and then that's where the alcoholic math starts, where it's like, well, you know what? I could probably just have, like, 12, you know? And, like, that would be fine. Honestly, if I could just drink like a normal person, I would do that all day, every day, you know, is like the way that it works out in my head. And it's just a hard life to live, man. And so, like, again, the worst thing that happened to me, it was no longer like the bad things that were happening, and it was just like living with myself. And I thought the only way out of this thing was if I died. And I, like, quickly started looking at ways that I could end the whole thing. And you know, my, like, grandiose, gigantic ego was like, the world has pained me, the world has done, you know, like, meanwhile I've, like, lived a middle class suburban life my whole, you know what I mean? Like, both, like, my family's alive, like, shit's cool, you know? But it's like the world has wronged me and terrible things are happening, and so I was going to plot, getting my revenge, I was going to, like, as an elementary school was getting out, I was just going to, like, 80 miles an hour drive into the school, like, as all the kids were coming out, you know? And then it'd be, like, all over the headlines and, like, thank you for laughing, all over the headlines, and, like, people would know, like, the pain that they had caused me, you know? Like, I'm just this deeply disturbed thought. And honestly, like, if I wasn't thinking about killing myself, I was probably thinking about killing you, you know? Just, like, deeply disturbed person. And, like, the gears in my head started churning, and it was like, I remembered, even though I thought AA was bullshit, like, the gears were churning in my head. It was like, man, but, like, people go there, you know? Like, and, like, they're probably not drinking, honestly, you know? Like, it might suck, but I mean, people go, you know what I mean? Like, people go there. There's a demand for AA. Now, I didn't want anything to do with it. Like, I was thinking of the solution all the time, but I just couldn't quite do it, you know? And, but the gears were churning, you know? And, like, I kept thinking about AA and kept getting drunk. And, like, you know, my thing would always be, so I would wake up and it was like, okay, we're not drinking today. Like, I had a job too, like answering phones somewhere, and I was like, all right, like, we just got to get to work. And it's always we, like, I'm so self-centered that I think of myself in the plural, like, we just got to get to work, and, like, we're not drinking today, and, like, I just got to get there, and, like, you know, before I know it, like, it'll be break time, and, like, whatever, and I really just, like, going through, like, my day or whatever. And, like, so what would actually happen is I would leave for work there. This was back when there was cash and carry. There was a cash and carry liquor store on the way. I drank Old Crow, which is, at the time, $7.99 for a liter and a half, usually in a plastic bottle. You can't beat it. If I had money, I drank Crown. If I didn't have money, I drank Old Crow, which really meant I just drank Old Crow all the time, you know? And, like, so on the way to work, like, I would pick that up, and then 15-minute break would come out, and I would run out to my car, and I would just, like, chug, you know what I mean? Just like, how open can I get my throat? How much of this can I get down? Then it was the same thing at lunch. Then it was the same thing at the 15-minute break. Like, honestly, by the time I left that place, I was a disaster, you know? Just drunk as hell. Like, just doing phone work, you know? Like, I actually think about it. Like, a lot of times I call places now and I'm like, that motherfucker's drunk, you know? Like, they're probably not. But in my head, they are. But anyway, and it just sucked, you know what I mean? Because, like, all I wanted to do was not that. And I was just powerless over it. So anyway, I got to get it moving here. So what happened is, I had made, like, the firmest resolution of my life to not drink anymore. Like, I had told everybody, you know what I mean? Like, it was a rock solid deal, you know? Like, we're just powering through. We're not doing it, again, with the we. We're not doing it anymore. And, there was a bar a couple blocks away from where my sister lived, and her husband wanted to go drinking one night. And so, like, I didn't want the guy to go by himself, you know? And so we went, and we closed the place down, and he left, actually. When I say we closed the place down, I mean me and me again, because he left at, like, a normal time. So we closed the place down, and I was coming home, and I passed out in some bushes, and I woke up some hours later, and I finally got back to her house, and I got upstairs, and it was just, I just, like, fell on the bed, you know, and I threw out this Hail Mary, God, something has to change, don't wake me up tomorrow, you know, either don't wake me up, or something has to change, which is, you know, trying to, like, cut deals with the spirit of the universe, you know, you know what I mean? It's like, who am I? But anyway, that was the deal that I tried to make. And I woke up the next afternoon, because I don't wake up in the morning. I woke up the next afternoon just furious. I mean, I could, because I remembered that prayer, you know? And in my mind, even though I had made a deal, the deal was that I would die, you know? Like, that's really what I was hoping that would happen. And I immediately knew that God did not exist, because if anything out there existed, it would not let something like me live, you know, and, like, walk around and be out there in the world, like, doing whatever I was doing. And I was just furious. But the thing is like that kind of stuff, so like willingness for change just never happens on my time, right? Like I can have all the willingness I want to, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the change is gonna happen instantly. For like an egomaniac control freak like myself, I'm of the impression that it will, right? But it doesn't, you know? Because what actually happened is like 3 weeks later, I got the opportunity to get sober. And I think that's kind of the case in AA, right? Like you go back 3 weeks from your sobriety date, and like most people had no idea that they were gonna get sober that day, you know? And that was my story too. I had burned everything down one more time, and my way out, there's like this family friend who had been in AA for 9 months or something like that. And that's like a believable time, by the way, you know? Like 3, 6, 9, whatever it is, like that's believable AA time. And so I called this lady up, and it was like really strange actually, because this lady had known me for a long time. She's like family friend. And my experience with adults is that like they lecture, they tell me I'm an asshole. It's not good conversations usually, you know? And that was kind of what I expected, was to get read the riot act. And this lady was so damn happy to talk. Like, I could just hear her smiling almost, you know? Like, she was just so happy to be talking to another alcoholic. Like, someone called her up and was looking for a meeting to go to, and she was just happy to oblige, you know? And that was like, I mean, I had had a first interaction with AA before, but like I would really consider that my first interaction with AA, because the state of Florida didn't tell me I had to go. And so like for a first interaction with AA, I mean, that was perfect, you know? She kept it real simple. This is where I'm at on Tuesday nights. You should meet me there. And so I met her there on a Tuesday night. And so I was 21 when I got sober. And the meeting she took me to was like a 65 and up women's meeting. And it was just strange, dude. You know, like I stood out big time. And they didn't care, though. And honestly, like they were worse off than I was, you know? I mean, it was like definitely just a group of alcoholics. And it was a fairly small, I mean, it might have been 8 people in there. And so, you know, it came time for like newcomer white chip time at the end of the meeting, which I was really trying to avoid. But it was like kind of hard to do that in a small room where everyone knows that you're new. And I can't tell you anything that happened in the meeting. I have no idea what the topic was. I don't know what anybody said. Frankly, I don't care because I don't think it matters. But what made like a gigantic impact on me was after the meeting, this lady bought me a big book. She bought me a 12 and 12. And so like owned her own business, wife, mom, like busy person. And she took not just the hour at the meeting with me, but she spent what would be another hour after the meeting. We sat in her car and I thought, like, this is the time where I'd get lectured or something like that. And she just 12-stepped me. Like, she talked to me about what it was like for her, what happened, why she went to AA, you know, what her life had been like since she'd been in AA. And she asked me a couple of questions about my drinking along the way. And she was just like, all right, look, here's these 2 books. This is our literature. You should read some of them. And if you find that you relate to it, this is probably the place for you. And she is just like, as simple as that. You know what I mean? And I could totally do business with that. She didn't put anything on me like real hard. And so I went home and I tried to read the doctor's opinion, and like some big words did not make sense. And so I skipped forward, I started reading Bill's story, and it made a little bit more sense, but like, honestly, even my life today, I'm almost, you know, I'm 36, been sober for like 14 years, I still can't relate to Bill. Like, dude was rich, New York, successful, like, you know what I mean? Like pretty important guy, you know what I mean? And like, I couldn't relate to any of it at all. Him as a person. But holy cow, the way that that guy drinks, I'm happy that I'm happy he was a part of like getting AA going, because like, I'm gonna tell you, that dude needed AA. And like, I related to the way that he drank. You know, he'd like, you'd be reading down the page and it's like he's burning down his life, and like surely you think you're gonna turn the page and he's gonna get sober, and then you turn the page and it's like, and then I got drunk again. And it's just like, damn dude, me too, man. Like, I got drunk again too, you know? And like, I just at my core, like totally related to the way that Bill drank. And that did not, I didn't become like a cheerleader for AA. I did not get like lifelong sober that instant. There was nothing like, you know, driver's licenses didn't fall out of the sky, or like I didn't get rich or anything. It was really just like, okay, like maybe there's something here, you know. And it's like just like a centimeter crack in the door. And I went to a second meeting, and that second meeting, or maybe the third, I don't remember, but I met a guy who was like, and so I lived out in Brandon, by the way, and like, you know, median age of people that go to meetings in Brandon is like 55. And I was, you know, I looked different, you know, and so people kept telling me like, oh dude, you're young, like you got your whole life ahead of you, man. Like, I wish I could have got sober at your age. I could have prevented so much pain. It's just like, dude, my life sucks. What are you talking about? Like, stop saying that, you know? It's like a really well-intentioned thing, but like, stop saying that, you know? And, but this one guy, he just scooped me up. You know, he just started taking me everywhere with him. And it was funny because like, I had a car, but he insisted on driving me everywhere. And I was like, what's this guy trying to do, you know? But like, I thought way too highly of myself, you know? But eventually he brought me to this meeting when it was off of Davis Island Boulevard, the first church over there. He brought me to this meeting. And so I had been going to AA for like a month probably. And I was really, I mean, like I knew there was something here, but I was kind of like, it was very obvious to me that I was just not with like the people that I was to be with, you know? And but I came to this meeting, and there's people outside smoking cigarettes, and they were like cursing and telling dirty jokes and like picking on some dude, you know? And I was just like, oh, thank God, you know, like I'm here, you know, like this is exactly it. This is what I need. And, and newcomer written across my forehead or whatever. And, you know, people started coming up to me and talking to me, and they started asking me like, hey, you know, haven't seen you here before. Have you, you know, is this your first time? Are you new? Are you just from out of town? Like what's your story? You know, like stopped doing what they were doing and took a genuine interest because they just recognized that someone was out of place. And that's like a great characteristic of a home group, you know, that a fantastic characteristic of a home group. And and they would eventually, so I started going to this meeting all the time. And really they started asking me very difficult questions. Questions like, do you want to stay sober, you know? And in my head, that's like, do you want all the pain to stop? And so of course it's like, yes, I do, you know? But what they were actually asking is, are you willing to do the things that we do? Because like getting sober doesn't just happen. You have to take action. So, you know, it's like what they were actually asking. And so when they asked me, do you want to get sober? And I said, yes. They would say like, okay, you need a sponsor, and you will work the steps with that sponsor. And like, you need a service commitment, and like all these things. And I was just like, whoa, you know? But like everybody around me, like there was like a very consistent message, you know? Everybody had a sponsor, everybody had a service commitment, everybody was working the steps, you know? And it was like, they actually seemed like they were doing things pretty well, you know? And don't get me wrong, like people out in Brandon were doing things pretty well too. Like it seemed like their lives were great. It's just that like, this was my squad, you know? Like these were the people I was hanging with. And so like I got a sponsor very much against my own will. I was given one. I did not ask for a sponsor. This guy had been bugging me about it, you know, and one night we were at Red Door, and it was like a Friday or Saturday night. So the meeting starts at 11, ends at midnight. And I had shoot for midnight sobriety, right? Like I had like, I need this meeting the last hour of the night. And when it gets here, I'm celebrating that the calendar is turning and I have not taken a drink again. Like I am well acquainted with shooting for midnight sobriety. And so like 10:59, the guy says, hey, do you have a sponsor? And I said, no, I don't really want one of those. That's not for me. And then the meeting started, and the meeting was about something, nothing to do with sponsorship or anything like that. It was just about whatever it was. And then like 12:01, you know, we say the Our Father, like, you know, keep coming back, works with your work. And he's like, hey, so do you got a sponsor yet? And I'm like, dude, like I haven't spoken to anybody. Like, you know, I don't have a sponsor, you know, but like I knew what he was getting at. And so I said, I was like, all right, well, do you want to be my sponsor? You know, cause I could tell what he was getting at. And I've been coming to AA for a month. I know you're supposed to say yes to that. It's like cardinal sin in AA to say no. And, but he was like, no. And I was like, whoa, you know, like a bait and switch. And he goes, He said, I'm not going to sponsor you, but I just got done working the steps with a guy, and he needs someone to sponsor, so that's going to be your sponsor. And he introduced me to this guy. And, like, even though I did not want a sponsor, I still had this, like, criteria in my head, like, 5 years or more, nice car, like, wife bakes cookies to bring to me or something like that. Like, I had all this criteria, you know, and this dude that was to be my first sponsor might have had 90 days, I don't know. Pretty sure he was single, and he had recently been in a motorcycle accident, and most of the skin on the left side of his face was gone. And so, like, that was just my first sponsor, you know. But the important thing is that guy did not meet any of my criteria, which is fine because I don't know what I'm talking about. But he did have alcoholism. He still does because he's, like, alive and sober in AA. He has alcoholism, and he had working knowledge of the 12 steps. He had been through the 12 steps. He had had some experience that freed him enough of alcoholism to where the problem had just been removed, right? Like, he was not even trying to not drink anymore. And, like, I could not get past that. In my head, you had to try to not drink, right? And this was all about willpower or whatever. But him and, like, all these other people I was surrounded by, for them, the problem had just been removed. They didn't even think about it, you know? And so, like, he had the requisite knowledge to work with an idiot like me, you know? And so what we did is he would just tell me, like, read the doctor's opinion. If you don't understand it, that's okay, because we're going to read it together. Read Bill's story. Read There Is a Solution. And I would just keep reading these chapters, and then we would read them together, and he would explain it to me, and he would write it out in crayon and tell me what things meant. And when we got to a step, we would work it. And that was really, like, there's no, like, I thought there would be, like, calculus and running a marathon every day and, you know, doing taxes, like, something really stressful and difficult, you know, is like what it was in my head, but it was, like, very straightforward. And you know, so, like, I spent way too long talking about being drunk, but, like, I can't say enough that the solution of Alcoholics Anonymous, like, this is a very well-trodden path, you know what I mean? There's road signs all over the place that say, like, stay in this lane. There's, like, no exits on the interstate, right? Unless you just want to drive your car over the ledge. There's no exits on the interstate. There's signs everywhere that stay here. This is a very well-trodden, well-documented, well-existed path. We have 12 steps, right, that free people like me from the obsession of drink. If I work them, you know, it takes effort. My feet are the most spiritual part of my body. I have to be taking action constantly, someone like me. I am, like, I could spend all day thinking about other people, but I am so massively selfish. Like, I will never not take time to take care of myself. You know what I mean? I could devote my life to helping others, and I would still think about myself constantly because I'm that level of self-centered, you know? And so, like, what we have here is a set of actions that, like, separate me enough from that garbage in my head to where, like, a drink, again, the problem is just removed, you know? And honestly, I don't know how it works. I just know that it does. I have actual, practical, working experience that it works. And I also have experience to the contrary. I'll say quickly, I had been sober in AA for, like, 3 years. And greed and, like, the prospect of making $1 million totally took over my life. My primary purpose was no longer staying sober and helping other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. My primary purpose was, like, how can I become so rich that I can just be noticeable to everybody, right? Because, like, that's I want you to notice me. Like I want everything, you know? And I took a job, and I got really resentful at the guy that worked there. And me and two other people that worked there, who were, like, the three of us were all in AA, and we all got really resentful, and we didn't do anything with the resentment except let it eat us alive. And we started a fraud scam to steal all the money from this guy's company. And we got caught, as you do. And on my fourth anniversary to the day, April the 28th, 2011, I got fired from this job. Like, all the stuff had come out, you know what I mean? We got caught, I got fired from the job, like, sat across a big mahogany table from an attorney who was talking about pressing criminal charges. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, dude, I have not put anything in my body in 4 years, you know? And, like, this is where I'm at right now. And I'd burned my whole life down one more time, absolutely as sober as I am standing right here. And the thing is I had stopped taking all the actions in AA. I had such an insane desire to get drunk, you know? Because, like, there was a lot of pain with it, right? Like, I didn't want to go to jail. I was without a job. Like, there was just a lot of pain. I knew I had done something terrible, and I didn't want to have do something terrible, you know, because I had had, like, this experience living a good way of life. And but fortunately, I was surrounded by enough people that were like, listen, homie, this is what the deal is. Like, that shit is going to get worked. You're going to have to go through whatever that is to get worked out. But, like, if you want to stay sober, like, here's all the things that you need to do again. And honestly, it's, like, all the stuff that's right there, you know? Like, I needed to be going to meetings. I needed to be talking to a sponsor. I needed to be taking inventory. I need to be praying in the morning and in the night. I should probably write some things down that are going on in my head. I should be helping other alcoholics, like, doing all this stuff, you know? And, like, so regardless of whatever the outcome of that thing was, I got to stay sober, you know? And, like, from that day to this day, fortunately, yeah, like, I haven't burned my life down again, you know, since then, which is awesome. And, but, like, it has nothing to do with me. You know, this is everything. I mean, like I said, like, AA is all about action, you know? So I hope you all take action and do all that stuff. Thanks.